So what you're recommending is an open encyclical from the Grand Vicar? Trinair asked. Not just for distribution among the bishops, but for dissemination from the pulpit as well?
That's exactly what I'm recommending, Clinton shrugged. I realize it will have to be carefully drafted, and that's going to take some time and thought, but I believe it's time we laid all of our cards on the table.
If we do as you suggest, Jaspar, Ducairne said aloud, it will reduce the scope and flexibility of the strategies available to us. If we draw that line openly before all of God's children, then those children will rightly expect us to act as boldly and as decisively as God requires of us. Yet, as Elaine's just said, we won't have that capacity to act for months to come.
It'll take months for our message to spread and truly sink in, anyway, Jaspar retorted. We can get our directives to the secular rulers involved and get our encyclical to every church on the mainland within 5 days using the semaphore. But even after we do, the common people are going to need time to absorb what we've told them, and Mother Church is going to need time to shape and direct their natural and inevitable sense of outrage.
If we declare Holy Crusade, Ducairne said in a carefully neutral tone, there can be no going back. Any possibility that we might be able to convince the clergy of Curris or its people to return willingly and repentantly to the arms of Mother Church will be gone forever. The only appeal left will be to the sword, not to reason or remonstrance.
That decision's already been made, Clinton said grimly. It was made when Caleb and Stainer chose to dispatch their hellish letter and openly give their allegiance to Shan Wei.
Ducairne winced inside, remembering another conversation when Jaspar Clinton, over a bottle of wine, had almost casually brought them to the point of condemning an entire kingdom to fire and destruction without warning. There was no question in Ducairne's mind of their overriding responsibility to preserve the church and her authority as the final mortal guarantor of the souls of all men everywhere. Yet Clinton's statement bothered him deeply on several levels. First, because of what it implied about who had actually made the initial decision to resort to violence. Second, because it starkly underscored the chasm of death and devastation into which Clinton was prepared to cast anyone who stood in his path. And third, because Clinton actually believed what he'd just said.
That's the truly scary thing, isn't it, Robert? He thought. This man is Mother Church's Grand Inquisitor, the keeper of the sanctity of her doctrines and the moral rectitude of her priests. Bad enough to think he's still prepared to make decisions at a time like this, at least partially on the basis of cynical pragmatism. But if the keeper of God's doctrine is able to genuinely convince himself to believe whatever he needs to believe to suit his own purposes, preserve his own base of power within the church, then where is the true guarantor of that doctrine?
He had no answer to that question. Perhaps God would show him one in the end, but he clearly wasn't going to do it before the group of four made its decision in the name of the entire church. And for all his doubts about the wisdom of Clinton's suggestion, or what had induced him to make it, Ducairne had no better answer to offer.
Jaspar's right, Maguire said. There hasn't been any going back since Stainer's letter arrived here at the temple, Robert. You know that as well as the rest of us do.
Yes, I suppose I do, Ducairne sighed. It's just the thought of how many people are going to die that makes me wish I didn't know it. Death is better than any heretic deserves.
Clinton's voice was cold, his fleshy face carved out of granite.
The sooner the lot of them join their dark mistress in hell, the better for the entire body of God's faithful.
And what about all the people who aren't heretics, Jaspar? Ducairne asked silently.
What about the children who are going to be slaughtered along with their parents when you burn Corus's cities? Have those innocents had the opportunity to choose between heresy and the truth? And what about those Carizians who remain loyal to God and the Church and still get in the way of the holy armies you propose dispatching to slaughter their neighbors? And what about the reaction, and the reaction is coming one of these days, when the rest of Corris realizes Steiner's accusations of corruption were completely justified? Are you going to reform the corruption, renounce your own position of power and wealth, begin approaching doctrine and matters of faith with a genuinely open and accepting mind? But despite his questions, it still came back to that single, unanswerable fact. To have any chance of restoring Mother Church to what she ought to be, what she must once more become, first Mother Church, whatever her present blemishes, had to be preserved.
"I don't especially like it," Trinair said with what Ducairne recognized as massive understatement. "But I'm afraid you may be right, Jaspar. At any rate, we must take some sort of action against the effects of the Carizian privateers Robert and Elaine have analyzed for us. And you are certainly right about Corris's dependency on its own merchant fleet. To be honest, I want to make no suggestion that holy war is inevitable, not yet. But you're right that we have to do something."
He looked around the conference table, his expression somber.
"Under the circumstances, I believe we truly may not have another option."